All right, Fred Grandy back. It is 7:30 a.m. It is 102.9 FM on your dial, WTNT, The Truth. And the sad truth is the Redskins lost yesterday after leading for a lot of the game. Rich Campbell, Redskins Report, joins us right now. Rich, I got your piece in front of me, and I've drawn three conclusions from it. One, Robert Griffin apparently is human. Two, just because you have officials doesn't mean you have officiating. And three, how long does Joshua Morgan have to sit in the naughty chair?
I think those are all pretty good conclusions.
Yeah.
Start with the last one first. Mike Shanahan wouldn't really indicate whether he plans to discipline Josh Morgan. We asked him about it today. Basically just said you play the best players on Sunday. I think it would go a long way towards sending a message, especially considering the Redskins, after 2 weeks, are the most penalized team in the NFL.
Well,
they're playing really undisciplined football right now, and to deactivate Morgan or at least hold him out of part of Sunday's home opener would go a long way to just kind of establishing that what went on at the end of Sunday's game can't be tolerated.
Well, particularly in light of the fact that Steven Jackson had, to some degree, a breach of etiquette and was taken out of the game by Jeff Fisher and not allowed back in, and he's one of their premier players.
Yeah, and Jeff Fisher, after the game, downplayed that, saying it was an issue with Jackson's groin. But I think there were still some questions about the legitimacy of that groin injury coming out of the Rams' locker room after the game. So either way, you know, I think Fisher moved on after Jackson's tantrum at the goal line there in the first half. And I think the Redskins, when you look at Josh Morgan, he's not as indispensable as Jackson is to the Rams. The Redskins have some other receivers that can play the Z position, so I think Shanahan would make a pretty big statement if he did that. Now, whether he prioritizes that or thinks that's important at all, we'll have to see. As far as Griffin being human, I thought he played an excellent game yesterday. He made one bad mistake at the end of the first half, made an ill-advised throw off balance under pressure, and it cost the Redskins 3 points, which was the margin of victory. So you look at some things that he did well. 3 touchdowns, he accounted for 2 on the ground, a long pass. Maybe another one was dropped, too. So, yeah, I think the one thing with Griffin is that the Redskins are always in the game with him under center. He's such an exciting player. But, you know, in a loss, you kind of look more at the negatives.
Well, actually, it seems to me the biggest loss in Sunday's game was not so much the score, but losing both Brian Arakpo and Adam Carriker, who are principal components of that defense, and guys that protect Robert Griffin.
Well, you know, the defense has given up 63 points in the first 2 games. So, you know, right there, you're looking at a unit that's kind of on its heels, struggling to find itself a little bit. And now you take away Adam Carriker from the defensive line and Brian Arakpo, who's not only a good pass rusher, but he helps a lot in that run defense. And so now the Redskins are going to be handicapped even more without 2 starters in the front 7, which was really an area of strength for this team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Redskins stayed healthy in that front 7. No manpower games were lost to injury by starters in the front 7 last year, and now we're going to get 28 right off the bat with these 2 injuries. So it's a huge step back for them. The Redskins doing some depth up there, but it's not going to be the same, and this defense is really going to have to scramble to try to maintain the status quo, which, you know, as we said, isn't even that great right now.
Who's likely to step in to fill those 2 positions?
Well, it'll be interesting to see who wins that outside linebacker competition between Rob Jackson and Chris Wilson. Got a couple of veterans who are mainly pass rushers. And I think the key for those 2 guys is to be multidimensional. And that's where Arakpo really distinguished himself as a run stopper. If whoever shows that they can stop the run, they'll be able to they'll get the most playing time. Up front with Adam Carriker, looks like it'll be Jarvis Jenkins, who's a second-year, second-round pick out of Clemson. He missed most of his rookie year last year, except for a couple preseason games, with a torn knee. So he's still working back from that. Hasn't been the explosive, powerful player that we saw last preseason, and now have a chance to kind of get his return to full health while playing and being in the starting lineup.
Okay. Well, then let me go to my middle question. Just because you have officials doesn't mean you have officiating. But I also want to take a quote out of your article from Darryl Young, who said, "This is the dirtiest game I've ever played in. Hitting after the play, a guy ripped my helmet off one time. I didn't know that was legal." Now, let me ask you this. Knowing that you were dealing with guys who were perhaps not full-time officials, did that trigger this kind of unsportsmanlike play, or were these guys just bad officials? I'm trying to figure out what's the chicken and what's the egg here.
Yeah, that's a really good point, whether the Rams and the Redskins, in all fairness, think that you can get away with some of the extracurricular activity because there are replacement officials, or whether the replacement officials should have done more to curb it. I lean towards the latter. I think the officials started calling some 15-yard penalties early in the game. They called Robert Quinn from the Rams, the defensive end, for punching Trent Williams in the face. They started to take a stand against this, but the game really got away from them, and I think it's such a a low-hanging fruit, for anybody who's going to complain about the game and how the game ended, to look at these replacement officials and say that they did a bad job. So I think there's no question that they lost control of the game, and it really became a sideshow towards the end of that.
Now, of course, for the Rams, a completely different story. The first time that they've won at home, I think, in five seasons, but as perhaps as convoluted as the play was for the Redskins, there was a pretty clear signal of leadership from Sam Bradford, who had, 310 passing yards and led a team to a comeback victory, even after last week in Detroit when they came so close but didn't quite score.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from the Rams side after that game yesterday was that they're a different team with Jeff Fisher as their head coach. And this was not the same team the Redskins have played under Steve Spagnuolo the last 2 years. I think they were disciplined enough on offense. They had a good game plan, really carving up the Redskins' secondary in the zone. They ran the ball effectively. Both Daryl Richardson and Steven Jackson, before he left the game, ran the ball well. Bradford was, just more determined, sharper, in rhythm, better protected behind an offensive line that was even banged up. So I think that team is going in the right direction, and that's one of those instances where you can recognize coaching as so valuable in helping steer the direction of a team and changing a culture from a losing franchise.
All right, seeing as how this appears to be a culture in the process of change, would you make any prediction about how the Rams will do this year? I assume they'll still have a losing season, but they got to be better than 2-14.
Yeah, and I think they're almost similar to the Redskins in a lot of ways. They have a promising quarterback. They still have some holes, but they have some decent direction and at least experience at the head coaching spot. So you see a team that's emerging. I think maybe the Redskins have more playmakers on offense, so maybe the Redskins are in more games. And obviously, you got to score points to win. I think the Rams also play in a relatively weak division with the Seahawks and the Cardinals. So it's possible for them to maybe get 6-7 wins, but that's about what the Redskins are looking at here. I mean, maybe a 500 season. You can see how Washington, is going to play well at times and excite you at times, have some explosive plays, but also some shortcomings and setbacks. So I think they're similar in a lot of ways, and it's interesting to compare the two sides because they're both coming up from the bottom of the league.
Of course, you're talking about the Seahawks, who beat the Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
Well, at home, but, they lose to the Cardinals. And yeah. I think that division is dominated by the 49ers. They look like the most complete team in the NFL right now.
And, of course, you're also talking about the Cardinals who beat the Patriots.
That's right. So. It's a crazy NFL. You never know what's going to happen week to week. So, the one thing that you take away from week one was that the Redskins went down and beat New Orleans, scored 40 points against them in the Superdome. Well, then that win doesn't look as impressive a week later when the Saints are at 0-2, the only team in the NFC East to be there. I think, it just speaks to the parity of the NFL and how exciting the league can be.
Okay, before we let you go, what's up next week and what's your prediction?
Redskins have Cincinnati at home in the home opener next week, and it'll be interesting to see how the defense rebounds against Andy Dalton and the A.J. Green, that attack. I think Cincinnati beat Cleveland yesterday. I think the Redskins will come out and play well, especially on offense. I know Cincinnati has a good defense, but I think, the Cincinnati's not really familiar with the Redskins personnel. It works both ways there, but I think the Redskins play inspired at home and just need to play more disciplined. That's the big thing.
Kidding.
I mean, 23 penalties in two games is not winning football. They're the most penalized team in the league right now. So I think if they clean up that, they'll win a close game next week.
Well, speaking of discipline, we got to get out of here because we have some announcements which we have to make. Rich, thanks for being with us, and we will talk to you soon, hopefully, over a winning game in Cincinnati.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
All right. And we'll be right back after this.